Brian McDonald, thank you so much for meeting with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The name of this series is All Roads Lead to Pullman. I love our community. And one of the things I love about it is that everyone's here for a reason. Nobody stumbles into Pullman, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You're either here to start a job, build a company, get a degree. Like, everyone's here because they're doing something. And I love that about the culture. And so I want to hear your story. What brought you to Pullman?
Yeah, so I came to Pullman in 94 to go to school.
Wow.
Yeah.
WSU?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Sam Smith was president, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I actually came to study environmental engineering. It's kind of a combination between mechanical and civil engineering.
Okay.
It turned out that I loved computers and I was good at them, and so I kind of changed my major to computer science and been doing computer stuff ever since.
There we go. So that's what brought you to Pullman. What made you decide to stay?
Well, so when we first came, my wife and I, we had a hard time getting used to it. We both came from bigger cities.
Oh, and where are you originally from?
So I'm from Puyallup, and my wife's from Everett.
Nice.
And so, anyways, we had a hard time getting used to it at first. In fact, my wife had about a year left of school, and all my professors were like, there's this company called SEO. You should go check them out. And so I did. And during the interview, again, brand new college grad, like not the best interviewer. We had a leadership meeting with basically the CFO, and she asked what was my plans for 5 years, and I was a little bit too transparent in my answer and said, well, my wife's got a year left, and you know, we're probably going to move back home to us with our families.
Oh, usually that's when the interview ends.
I know,
right? Like, because we're used to that in Pullman.
Yeah,
we're used to people moving on, and so if you say, well, this is just a stepping stone, then this might not be the right role for you.
Yeah. So, over that next year, we started thinking, we had real young kids, and we started thinking, it's like, man, this would be a great place. The schools are good, and it's like a lot lower crime, tons of outdoors. Like, it could be a pretty cool place with no traffic. I loved SEL. And by the time she graduated, we were like, we're going to stay. And so we raised all of our kids here. My youngest just graduated from WSU.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Last year. And actually this year, well, that's not true. Day after Christmas, we got our first grandkid. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, amazing. Boy or girl?
Girl.
Oh, wow. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So you're doing the whole multi-generational thing.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Like, all my kids are here, and my grandkids, they live in Colfax. They couldn't afford a house in Pullman, but
give them some time.
Yep, that's right. So yeah, it's been great.
Oh, fantastic. So what's been like the progression of your career over the years? Because I know you've risen through the ranks at SEL.
Yeah, so I came in, it was like five people in IT at the time, and 300 in the whole company. Now we're over 7,000, and IT is like 170 people all around the world. And so anyways, I started doing IT. I was like half sysadmin, half help desk. Yeah. And at one point, the same CFO came to me and said, hey, Brian, at that point, I was well known for liking to solve problems, trying to be customer oriented, kind of impatient about like getting things solved, just kind of tenacious about that. And she came to me and said, we'd like you to be our head of security. And obviously it's not because of my build, because of my computer savvy.
Yeah.
And I thought, When she asked me that, I thought that was the weirdest thing. Actually, I was a little bit offended because I was, again, I love solving problems. And we'd had a couple of, you know, information security people who kind of they were best known for policy and you know, cracking down on things. And that's not really my
sure.
style.
Like telling people you must have a longer password.
Yeah,
change your password.
So anyway.
Wait, are you saying there's more to computer security than just passwords?
Well, I think the key is, and they saw this before I did. I was like, okay, well, if that's what you need, like that's what I'll do. And I took the job. I was still pretty skeptical, but it turns out getting people to be like, hey, this is why you need a unique password, or this is why your password should be a certain length, or this is why you need to be careful about emails. Those kinds of things work way better than just like hitting them over the head with it. And so I actually really enjoyed doing that. And I think we had a lot stronger security than we had previously. Everyone was engaged. I'd run into people in the grocery store and they'd ask me some techie question or tell me how they just enabled two-factor authentication.
Hey,
or
we like to hear that.
Yeah, no kidding. So, and right, I mean, who would have thought like you bump into someone not very techie in the grocery store and they're telling you about their MFA journey or whatever.
So I use the Authenticator app on my phone.
Yeah, it's important. Like I think that's important. It used to be like don't click on bad emails, and now like I think the
good old days, yeah, when it was so easy.
Exactly. And now I really think multi-factor is like the number one thing people can do.
Absolutely.
So anyways, so I did security for a long time. Actually, there was a big security thing happening when I first took it over and got lots of good experience, including working directly with the senior supervisory agent at the FBI for the region. And we ended up hiring him to take over security once he hit his 20 years at the FBI. And then I was able to move back to IT and run IT after that. So,
fantastic.
Yeah,
well, it's been good. I like what you shared about explaining the why behind something rather than just saying, this is how it could be. That's a good skill set, and that'll probably factor back into what we talk when we talk about city council. Tell me a little bit about what you love about Pullman.
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. Like I mentioned, the traffic. We've actually at work a few times. We've talked about like we've done surveys about like what does Pullman need? What's it good at? It's like when somebody mentions traffic, it's like okay, you've been here a long time probably, because right that. Traffic's amazing.
Lack of traffic.
Yes. Yeah. I love the outdoors. My wife is big into overlanding and camping, and I love biking of all types. Ride on the trail a lot.
Love our trail system.
Yeah. So all of those things. I think one of the really cool things about Pullman is as a college town. It's a small college town. You get all the benefits of almost all the benefits of a small town. And then you get those unique things. Again, when we first moved, we had a hard time getting used to the small town. But there's things that the college brings that you wouldn't normally get. You definitely wouldn't normally get in a town of 30,000 people or whatever.
Sounds like the place grew on you after a while.
Yeah, it totally did.
What was the turning point? When did it go from being like, oh, this is a stepping stone, I'll probably move away, to this is home, I want to put roots here?
I think it was a combination of just absolutely loving working at SEL and realizing like when we started thinking more about like what's it going to be like to raise kids versus like, you know, where could I go eat or like what kind of shopping's around.
Sure.
It's like for our families, that was really the biggest thing.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I love raising my family here. And the truth is, in the internet age, shopping isn't really
totally
the factor that it used to be back in the 80s. And yeah, every time I go to the big city, I enjoy myself and I'm reminded about why I live here.
That's the truth. Yeah, it really is. So
very cool. Well, tell me a little bit about your vision for Pullman and what prompted you to want to run for public office.
So I really think going back to the idea of that small town with some of the amenities that a college brings, I think that there's so much untapped potential thinking about different problems that we need to solve and really that other communities need to solve. We've got super smart professors and researchers and students and we've got great businesses in the community. And I feel like there's a much bigger opportunity to lean in on all of that, pull out those inventors and like how do we help them flourish? How does that help solve problems in the community? I really think there's a lot that we could do there.
Oh yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I feel like Pullman is somehow undervalued in this moment. Like we have so much untapped potential. There might be other communities or neighboring communities that are a bit overvalued, but like Pullman has not hit its ceiling or its stride yet. I wholeheartedly agree. But what prompted you to want to run for Ward 1 City Council?
Yeah, so I think, okay, so I would say there were three things. And the first one is I went to an open house right before they did the construction. Mm-hmm. And I heard two different things, mostly two different things from the people that I talked to, the officials that were there, mostly on city council. One was there's a lot going on in the world and people wanted to talk about things on the other side of the world. I was like, man, I'm here to hear about downtown. And no matter how you feel about that, it's like, that's not what this open house is for. That's not what the city council is for.
Was the city council meeting or was this an open house project?
But about the project before it started, but city council and some of the city planners and everything were there, but it was mostly city council.
I was probably at one of those meetings.
Yeah, probably. It was just an open house at the city hall.
Okay.
So I went there and got the like people distracted. And then the other ones, it was like, there's a lot of conversation about, we live in a state with a lot of regulation. There's like, it's not the most business friendly, but it's also not the worst. And the people that I was talking to, they're like, man, we live next to Idaho. It's basically you can't win. And I'll acknowledge there's definitely some challenges there, but if you go in with the we can't win, you won't win, right? So I think we just have to recognize all the different things that we've got. We've got a university that has lots of great ideas. We have great businesses. We've got people. I think the people that live, that choose to live on the Palouse are like, they've got a lot of grit and a lot of creativity. And I just started thinking, I actually went into work the next day and said, I was talking to my boss and said, he was supposed to come with me, but he didn't. And I was like, man, you missed out. I was like, it was kind of frustrating. And I talked to him about all of those things. And he shouted down the hall to Mackenzie Brummett. She's now the president of the Chamber of Commerce. And he's like, hey, I think Brian just said that he wanted to run for office. And I was like, no. I'd never even thought about that before. Never. I was like, no, that's funny. But anyways, it kind of stuck in my head a little bit. And then the next thing was, again, I like riding bikes. I like running. I was getting ready for Bloomsday. And I'd run past that Pine Street Bridge that was down just after we did $12 million of downtown. And then this bridge is broken and was broken and still broken. They're working on it now, but broken for a long time. And every time I ran past it, I was like, somebody should do something about it. And then I was like, yeah, I had, you know, Joey, my boss, in back in my head, it's like, maybe you should run for office. And so I kept thinking about it and kept thinking about it. And then I think the last thing was just thinking about that now we've got a grandkid in the area, and like we're here, but man, nothing's gonna anchor you to the community like having a local grandkid, right?
So there you go.
I think between all of those
things. Yeah. Well, it's interesting you brought up the Pine Street Bridge, because I think we all wince a little bit when we look at that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that you draw a line between action on that and city council. I'm curious to hear from you, what do you believe city council is for?
Yeah, I think that, I know that we're a mayor strong community, but I think that the biggest thing that city council can do is they can ask hard questions at city council. They can help influence the, like, what could we do, asking the people in city government, like, hey, can you research this? I think we have the authority to do all of those types of things. I know we're not the final decision makers. We're not going to make all the policies. I think we're just mostly looking at how do we, you know, approving spending and doing things like that. So, but again,
and what you just described, we can all do that now. We can all ask hard questions now. What do you believe the role of the city council is?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is just making sure that we're heading in the right direction and getting visibility to what the city is doing. I think pulling in engagement, I agree with you. Like the amount of times that I've been to things like that open house or a city council meeting prior to deciding to run wasn't enough. And so I do think that city council can help change some of that engagement with the community.
Certainly. Certainly. I think that whatever station we're in, we have an opportunity to either raise the atmosphere or lower the atmosphere. Yeah. Right. You know, you can be a force for positivity anywhere you go. And that's awesome. But as far as like the job description of a city councilor, like, so let's say you win this primary, let's say you win the general, your term begins January 1, you have your first city council meeting first week of January. What do you plan to do when you get into office?
So I think that the biggest thing is just making sure that I understand what's on the agenda and be ready to come ask good questions, lend support, lend, you know, maybe some creative thinking and help with that decision making around that. Again, not necessarily the final decision maker, but being a part of working through whatever issues that we're talking about.
Okay. So there was something that I found on your website, and I also saw it in Big Country News. You were quoted saying, "Last year I was disappointed when we spent about $12 million on Project Downtown Pullman, and we didn't address the prominent run-down buildings." So when I hear that, the first thing that goes through my mind is, oh boy, this person probably doesn't understand how construction projects work. But the second thing I'm wondering is, I'm not sure they understand how taxpayer money works. So I'd like you to unpack that quote a little bit for me. Can you tell me specifically how you are hoping, if we do it over again, how you wish we had used taxpayer money to improve private buildings?
Yeah, so I don't, so my goal would not be like, fix the buildings for the different places. What I would say, and we've talked about it before on city council and in different formats around the city, is like, what should we be doing about, you know, if there is buildings that go unkept for a long period of time. Yeah. There is definitely something the city could do about that.
The Mimosa building, right? But you said, I was disappointed that we spent $12 million on Project Downtown Pullman and we didn't address the prominent rundown buildings. What do you wish had happened there?
Yeah, so
In terms of spending $12 million.
No.
That's the quote.
So what I would say is, if you're going to be invested enough to be like, let's spend $12 million to do infrastructure improvements and add some other amenities, make downtown awesome, I think you have to have some complementary discussions and plans to address. I don't care if it's a broken bridge that unfortunately happened right afterwards, or if it's some rundown buildings that need care. I think there's more that we could do. I don't think it's just like heavy-handed. I think more engagement with the...
Let's talk about that, because the Pine Street Plaza Bridge is, of course, unrelated to Project Downtown Pullman. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's a permitting issue. You know, the Public Works Director went on record, did a whole video where he outlined, I think, 8 different permits he had to get with the state and the federal government just to put a crane next to the river, which is, I mean, crazy, right? Like, we all hate that, but it's not for lack of trying. In the case of downtown buildings, it looks to me like you are advocating for more government intervention in private property, which I would also say is being very separate from Project Downtown Pullman, which was an infrastructure and streetscape project. So what do you wish had happened with the downtown project?
Yeah, so I like the downtown project. I mean, I think just like the bridge, the timing was a little bit unfortunate. Sure. I mean,
there's never a good time to close your streets for 9 months.
Yeah, like if I'm a downtown business and I just lived through the pandemic, like I'm probably not like, man, you know, it'd be awesome is if you close my front door. So like there was definitely some rough timing. But I think whatever, we got through it. It does look amazing. I think it's prime for filling up the rest of those spaces for sure. Yeah. So I really think it's just looking holistically at different things.
Totally.
And how do we solve that? I, like going back to the Pine Street Plaza Bridge, mm-hmm. the things that I would say that I don't know if you saw, there's a Facebook post that all, I think all social media posts the city did maybe a month ago. It's like Sean from Public Works got in and he said, hey, I just want to give you an update on what's going on with the bridge. Mm-hmm. He actually had a couple of people come by. It's like, what's going on with this bridge? I keep seeing it. Anyways, he's like, here's what's going on. He talks about the permitting and what they're doing next. I do think that we should lean into that and figure out how to do more of that and do that sooner. It would have been way cooler for that video to happen early on with the like, hey, we're working on the permits. We're doing this to help expedite that permitting.
You're preaching to the choir here. I would love to see more communication, sooner communication, but this sounds like a pivot because basically what you're telling me is the way they're fixing the bridge is fine. You just wish they talked about it sooner.
And I still wonder if they could have done more to expedite the...
You said the disappointment turned to disgust. Do you still have disgust over how they're handling the Pine Street Bridge?
I definitely think that I would have liked to hear us, what did we do to try and push those permits through? I think you can do some filings around hardships, and I think you can make an argument. You just did the downtown. I think there probably could have been more that we did. I definitely feel better about it than I did 3 months ago.
Okay, that's good to hear. Yeah. That's good to hear. So going back to the derelict buildings, what action do you hope to see a city government take when it comes to abandoned or semi-abandoned structures like the Mimosa building?
Yeah, so I think the Mimosa building is an extra interesting one. I don't have all the history. I read was that in the Inlander? There was an article about it maybe like 4 years ago,
yeah.
And they talked about that there was a flood. That is actually around the time that I was getting here.
97 flood.
Yeah, it was before I started at SEL, and I'm sure there was two sides to that story when that flood happened. It's like the city's like, hey, make sure you do all these different things, and I'm sure they're like, hey, we're trying to run a business here, and this is a hardship. And
no two sides. I mean, what happened was the flood did a lot of damage downtown, mm-hmm. and the owners of the restaurant sold. So the building, the restaurant never reopened, and the current owners of Mimosa were not the owners during the flood. They acquired the property afterwards, likely at a really good bargain because of the flood damage. The problem is that just nothing's happened in 20 plus years.
Yeah, and I mean, like if you look at the Inlander story, again, I don't have that, and I would love to get that information, but like in the Inlander story, that it's like they'd never talked to the mayor, like any of the previous mayors. They'd had like one interaction with city council, and that was Brandon Chapman, and I really think that the best thing we can do, we've got a great university, we've got good businesses, we've got great residents that live in Pullman, we've got smart students. Like, the more we can figure out how to understand each other and then come up with plans that are gonna work for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, again, just going back to like the example, sorry, that's probably terrible. The example of like getting picked to do information security and being like, I don't really wanna come in with a hammer. I really think the best way to handle things is to teach. And there's a saying.
Yeah, so what would you do in this situation? Because in this case, we have a landlord who owns this property as a long-term investment. And they're not the only ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of properties downtown, honestly, all over Pullman, that are being held as nest eggs. And the fact that they're not cash flowing really isn't a problem for the owners because it's their retirement, right? And so rents don't come down. Normal market forces, for some reason, don't seem to apply to commercial real estate in Pullman, which is frustrating for a lot of people. But the owners of that particular property, they know how the community feels, and they are just fine leaving it the way it is. Although I do think they should be given credit. They did put a very nice new coat of paint on
It
looks way better. So if you're watching, thank you so much. It looks great. But if you were to get this position, what tangible action would you like to take on Mimosa and buildings like it that hasn't been taken already?
I think the very first thing, and again, I think it was super clear in the Inlander article, is get those communication channels open. I'm definitely not going to recommend do X, Y, and Z without even hearing that story. I mean,
so do you think that Mimosa's in the state it's in because no one's bothered to talk to the owners?
I don't think that there's been very much meaningful discussion there. I mean, again, if you have one city council person in 25, 30 years that's talked to them and no mayors, maybe one mayor now, but like as of whenever that was, 2018, would you say 97 to 2018?
What you just described may not be true. There's definitely been more engagement than that.
Okay.
But I can't speak on behalf of the parties, but I
can't either. So like what I can say is I've never talked to the swingers and I haven't talked to the only city council person that I've talked to at all about it was Brandon Chapman. And and what I would say is that the Inland article was pretty blunt about the lack of interaction between the city and the owners. And then what I would say is like what I've heard from different people, it's like it doesn't make me feel like there definitely hasn't been that Pine Street Bridge, Sean Wells giving an update type of moment, right? Like there's
appropriately so because it's a private structure, right? Like the public works director isn't gonna stand in front of your house and say, well, it's about time Brian McDonald finally mowed his lawn. Like that's not how that works.
I don't know. I think in 30 years, what I would certainly hope is that if you you have to put in all that effort to have the good communication and then get to a point where either you don't feel bad about saying nice job painting your house or saying like, man, it'd be nice to get this house painted, you know?
And that is a valid position to take. I just wanted to clarify because what you're saying is you would like the city government as a public official to be more involved in private property.
I would definitely say that the city needs to help make sure that the environment in downtown Pullman is conducive to successful businesses. I'm way more interested in a bustling, vibrant downtown than nest eggs that go uncared for with or without paint for decades.
Yeah, and I think we would all, regardless of where we fall in the political spectrum, we all want downtown to thrive and we all want derelict buildings to be fixed up and ideally with tenants that are running a successful business. We all want that.
Yes.
That's how we get there is what's interesting. And then also recognizing what the role of city government is. You know, and I want to draw that out a little bit more. Like, what would you see as being tangible action that the city could take and that you could take as a counselor to help get that thriving downtown?
I think the first thing is those hard discussions about like, okay, why are we in this spot?
But here's where I need to push back. Hard discussions can be had by anyone. Like being a public official, an elected official, actually restricts you more in what you can and can't do because you're speaking on behalf of a government. So a city, though, has the ability to take action, to do policy. What type of policy decision? Because that's ultimately the role of city council.
So what I would absolutely say is that I don't have enough information to be able to recommend a policy right now. I 100% don't have that. What I would say is that I'm pro small government. What I am also is pro Pullman.
But you just said that you would like city government to be more involved in what people do with private property, including residential houses. And so that seems to fly in the face of saying I want to be small government.
So I think being engaged in the community and engaged in
always a good thing.
Like, I think that's the, again, like going back to, I'm just going to pick on my security experience. My job in security, again, I was offended when it's like, oh, you want me to come in here and do a bunch of regulations? I was like, you're asking the wrong person. And I would say for city government,
that is the job of a city councilor is not just to have docs, it's to make policy.
Someone would have told me, I mean, we had policies, we still have, just to be clear, we still have policies at SEL. What I would say is my focus in security was, yeah, okay, get the regulations that you need, get the guidelines, get the company policies, whatever that you need. But really, the place that you're going to make the biggest impact is in the culture, the approach. And I think that's the place where I could bring the most benefit to city council, is that, you know, are we asking the right questions? Are we engaging the right people? Are we getting the word out about things early enough? Am I doing enough to do that? So that,
that's where I want to challenge your stance on this, because the city council is to the mayor as the state legislature is to the governor, or Congress is to the president, right? Like, it's a division of duties, mm-hmm. separation of powers. The city council's job is not to run the city.
Right.
The city council's job is to pass laws and do policy. Well, two things: pass laws and set the budget, right?
Yep.
The city council holders do not get to go to the staff and tell them how to do it, right?
Right.
And so it's just interesting to me that you see this as being a networking conversation job first and policy second. From what I've seen in the job description, it's the other way around. Is that something you're prepared to embrace?
I think that's true for a lot of things. It's like, there's a lot of rules around things, and you need to tackle that part. But I would still say, like, even in that role, the better that you're engaged, the better that you're connected, the better you're going to be able to make decisions about the budget, about the rules. So, like, that doesn't change my opinion at all.
So what I hear you saying is, it's important that you do your homework, and it's important that you do the hard work of building relationships.
Yeah.
That's good. I think that's something we can all get behind. So what are some examples of relationships? We've already talked about real estate downtown. What are some other bridges you would like to be a part of building? Metaphorical bridges, not the Pine Street Bridge.
Yeah. Hopefully that's all squared away well before before the elections are decided. So, right? It's supposed to ideally be done by the end of August.
I mean, honestly, if this was a bridge across a creek on some private property, we'd just get we'd call up Coach Jimmy and say, send us six linebackers. We'd lift the darn thing up and put it back.
That's the frustrating thing. And I recognize there's a part of that that's government. But
we live in a world where, you know, we answer to Olympia on stream beds and safety of employees, and we answer to the federal government over waterways. And it's just, bureaucracy is frustrating.
And the city, right? I mean, like,
I'm not aware of any city regulations that are slowing down the repair.
Well, I mean, you have to go through the permitting process there. And, you know,
Their own permit. That's not the one they're waiting for. It's the external permits they're waiting for.
What I will say is, like, Pullman Radio News, when they were talking about the permits and the video, they're like, I hope they didn't get stuck with the Pullman permits. Which some other people building houses, working in businesses, that is one of the hurdles that they have to get through.
Absolutely. And we've seen that frustration in a lot of places. I've talked to other candidates right here. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a common thread. But the simple fact of the matter is, city councilors don't get to tell the staff what to do. And so if that's your main issue, you're probably going to run into some frustration when you find out that city staff don't actually answer to you.
Yeah. So I don't know. I still think that the influence is, like, underestimated. I think that there's a big opportunity there. The more you can get, what I'd love to see happen with maybe the permitting process in Pullman is, if we need to go through a city permit for something, and we know it's like, okay, well, you've got good luck. You've got to go through the Army Corps. You've got to go through the state. You've got to go through the county. What I would love to see, and again, not as city council, but as a member of the community, is, and city council too, like, just in general, what I'd love to see is, when someone goes through that permitting process, it's like, okay, yep, here's what we're going to do with the focus on getting that bridge fixed, right? And safely and all that. But also, it's like, okay, and you've got these other ones too. here's some things that can help you navigate that in the quickest, seamless way, right? That's like the, our local permitting people ought to be great at being able to know what the gotchas are and those types of things. So I feel like there's opportunities where we could help recognize where we live and how do we make the most of it and make sure that it's not more of a burden than it needs to be.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, let's stay downtown for a little bit, but kind of switch subjects a little bit. Tell me about downtown projects. Sounds like you were peripherally involved, went to some open houses and stuff, and now you've seen the final results. But we all know that the middle part of that process was rough and somewhat divisive. If you had been a part of either city council or more involved in some ways, what do you wish had happened instead? How do you see we could have done better when it comes to managing that project?
I think more, just like the bridge, I think more communication earlier, I think that would have gone a long ways. My wife, she used to sell commercial real estate, and then now she works at the bike shop downtown.
Oh, cool.
And so they were very much affected by that. Yeah. And so I think just the more communication earlier, yeah. I think that's a big deal there. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so you don't have like an issue with the amount of money that was spent like you referenced on your website?
No, I just like, we need to solve the vibrancy of downtown and that $12 million did not solve that. That's a piece, mm-hmm. but like, let's solve the problem.
What dollar amount do you think would solve it? Or is it a dollar amount issue?
I don't think it's a dollar amount issue. To your earlier point, it's like that the government's not gonna buy all of that. Like what I do think we can do is we can make it easier for businesses to get started. I think mm-hmm. it's easier to get through the permitting process when you're trying to put something there. Mm-hmm. I think there's some creative ideas that I've heard of about, like, I think some of the challenge we have downtown
is that
we've got a lot of empty buildings that are probably too big for someone just starting out. So like we need to come up with some creative ways to fill those up.
For example.
So I'm not an expert at,
I'm not either.
Okay. So I think just asking more questions about like, how could we bring some of those student ideas, some of those professor ideas, right? There's funding changes happening at the university. What can we do so that if someone has a really cool idea, what can we do to help them get started? And I don't mean like pay for their business. What I mean is make it easier that there's a space that actually fits them and that they can get the construction done and that they can open up. And what I would say is like from a like support perspective, is there things just like if you're doing a permit, like I'd love for the city of Pullman permit people to be like, hey, this is what you could do to help yourself through the rest of the process. Yeah. What would be awesome is if we could help give them good advice so that they can run sooner versus walk.
I honestly, I'm on board with most of what you're saying, your ideas. What I get tripped up on is most of what you're saying is about implementation at the staff level. It's not policy. What policies, ideas do you have that could help improve the business community in downtown Pullman? Because, I mean, we're very much on the same side here. I'm a small business owner, right? I don't like things to be burdensome. No small business owner does. You know, what are some policy ideas you have that can help make it easier to run a business in Pullman?
So I probably don't have a lot of specifics yet. My idea of joining city council is pretty like days before the deadline to apply. And I still feel like I'm in the learning mode. So
sure.
Before I'm ready to say, here's the policies that we're gonna implement, I've got to learn more.
You have a picture on your website of you literally rolling up your sleeves and you say, Pullman deserves bold, practical leadership. What are your practical ideas for the future of Pullman? Because I love how vested you are here, right? Like you've got roots down that are deeper than mine. I love that, right? And hopefully we'll get to serve together in this community for decades more in the future. So what do you believe needs to happen? Forget city council, just in general, what do you believe needs to happen so that Pullman can take it to the next level and really thrive in the future?
Yeah, so I think we need to find some ways to make it easier for people to start a business in Pullman and to start small. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be better about pulling those ideas in from students and whoever else, right? Like, I mean, in Ed's case, he was a professor, and he's not the only one, right? We've had other students
success,
that, we've had others that have stayed in Pullman, but we've also had others that have gone somewhere else with those great ideas. And so I think, how do we find ways to make the easy path, hey, we'll help you get started in Pullman. And then hopefully they come through the same realization that I did. It's like, man, there's no traffic, there's tons of outdoors, the schools are great. And I think that's just a journey and a process.
Yeah. So. Well, let's switch a little bit towards the SEL side of things, because it dovetails what you just said. We want Pullman to be an attractive place to come and to stay. With your position at the company, I'm sure you've been involved in a lot of hiring, recruiting, and retention. What are the things Pullman needs to do to make this an attractive place to come and put down roots, especially with the demographics that SEL is recruiting?
Yeah, so I think one of the big things is affordable housing. So I was super fortunate when I started looking for a house, it's probably 99, and we were looking at houses, and the houses in our budget were like, you know, it was like 1920s, 1940s houses. I was like, oh, by the way, like the foundation is then all the way crumbled, but you probably might need to do some work there. You know, it's just like not houses that we just kept looking.
Yeah.
And at the time, Copper Basin came in just past the high school.
Yeah, I remember when that was built.
Yeah, and so we had one of the first houses in that neighborhood. Cool. And for
a great location there on Military Hill.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It was a different time, but $130,000. Like, we had a 1,700 square foot brand new house. And I think that a lot of times when I've talked to different people that have left, like, there is the state of Washington does have some burdens that are high. What I would say is a lot of times the last straw is the city, right? Like, so how do we pull back something like the Copper Basin again and find ways to bring those house prices back down?
Yeah, so love that. Well, we've covered a lot of stuff. Is there anything you would like to share? Is there anything you want the voters to know as they fill out their ballots here this week?
I think the biggest thing for me is just recognizing we do have an amazing community. Pullman is a great place. We have the people are one of my very favorite things about Pullman. There's a lot of grit. There's a lot of passion. And I think that goes into the businesses, into the employees that work at those businesses, into the university. It's got a unique spirit. And I think the more that we can figure out how to listen and learn from each other, the stronger our community will be.
Well said. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate you sitting down with us, and wish you best of luck in the primary election.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.